Good morning. It is good to see everyone here. And well, I was up in my office this morning, sat down getting ready to pray, and the Lord's laid something else on my heart this morning. And actually, the songs went perfect with what it's going to be. So, I'll honestly say this last week's been a very difficult week. I've had some trials this week, and then I got news the other morning that Brother Donnie died, and that's been a hard pill to swallow for me because he was one of my dearest friends, and I won't forget the night that he went to go see my mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law got saved because Donnie Colson went out of his way and took the time to go see her. And I won't forget going into her room saying, "Mom, I heard something happen." She said, "I'm going to heaven." And I know, and I just wonder when he got into heaven, my mother-in-law probably went up to him and said, "I'm here because of you." So bear with me. This is going to be a tough one. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John 4. We're just going to look at God, our love. Because I wonder how many of us really realize how deeply we are loved by God. And to let this really sink into our hearts and minds today. But 1 John 4, 9 through 13. And if you would, those that can please stand as I read from God's Word. 1 John 4, 9 through 13. "By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we want to thank You today for Your love. And Lord, as we reflect on this passage of Scripture, we know that You loved us first. We know that You chose us. Because You love us that much, You sent Your only begotten Son to take our punishment, our sin, upon Himself so that we wouldn't have to face an eternity in hell for those that choose to follow Jesus. The Lord, let us take these words to heart very deeply that God, because You love us, if we love You, then we need to love others as well. But God, today let this message go and touch the heart and the mind of somebody today who maybe feels like they're not loved. Maybe somebody who's been hurt in their past. God, I pray today that this message will really speak to them and strengthen them and build them up, Father. Touch their heart and life today, I pray. And as I speak this message, Lord, God, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit. And nothing from my own words or flesh or my own thoughts. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. When I think about the word love, and if I was to ask you what you think love is, what would your answer be? A lot of us might think of probably the love that we have for a family member. Or maybe our first love when we met our boyfriend or girlfriend who's now our spouse. There's a lot of different answers, a lot of different scenarios we could think of for love. But what I want to really focus on this morning is God's love. Because I want to tell you this. God's love, there is nothing greater than that. There is nothing greater than God. He is holy. He is worthy. And I'll tell you what, if anything, we from our hearts and lives today, we should spend as much time on our faces loving Him and praising Him for all that He's given unto us. What I want to look at first is the comprehension of His love. It's beyond human comprehension. You and I with this physical... Now, I'll tell you what, I've listened to some top Bible scholars on different programs talk about God and His love. And I've heard some pretty interesting things. But the human brain cannot... And God made it this way while we're on this earth. We cannot fully understand or comprehend why somebody would love us, somebody as great as He is, would love us to the point that He would give up His perfect Son to take our sin, to take our punishment upon Himself on the cross. That is beyond... I know what the Bible says, that God so loved the world. But you and I cannot understand that kind of love. And I don't think we'll ever understand it until we actually get to heaven. Till we are in spirit form. But His love, it is an amazing love. And when I think about His love, He knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows the good and the bad. He knows the imperfectness of us. And yet He still loves us. That's what's amazing about His love. When I fail, I always feel like that I can't be brought back into good graces with God because I feel like I'm not worthy enough. And all God says to me is, "Child, I want you to lay your burden. I want you to lay the trials, the pain, the suffering, everything. I want you to just lay it down in front of me. And I want you to give it up." God is saying to us today, "I want you to just grasp everything about me and I want you to let it absorb in you." I mean, get rid of all the thoughts of everything going on around you and just get into His presence today, starting now, and just absorb everything of the Lord and let God fill you, because when you let God fill you with this amazing love, it'll change your life. It really will. I tell you what, I've neglected some of my readings the last few days because I've been kind of overconsumed with some things going on. And I let these things take place of the time that I should have been before the Lord. But you know what? I sat down this morning and I got to pray again and give it up. And that's the thing, the amazing thing about His love. Is that no matter what I've done, He still loves me just the same. And it never changes His mind about me. God doesn't look at me or you for your faults because you've messed up, and He doesn't say, "Well, I'm going to take your name out of the book of life." He doesn't do that. Because God is love. And because God is love, He manifested that love toward us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that through His death, burial, and resurrection, that He would give us life, that He would give life to us abundantly and in an amazing way. And He gave us His Holy Spirit. If you don't know today about loving people, I tell you what, if you just spend time with the Lord and let Him pour that into you, you will see changes start to happen in the way that you look at others and how you treat others. Now, I want to talk about Brother Donnie for a moment. Now, I'm not going to make this whole message about Donnie this morning, but if I ever saw a man who was filled with God's amazing love, it was Donnie Colson. Donnie Colson used to have the nickname Snake because Donnie Colson used to be a very mean, evil person. He was a drunk, and he didn't like nobody. He didn't want nothing, but he had a mama. Donnie Colson told me his story one day. He said, I had a praying mama. And he said she would be on her knees day after day praying for her son because I was wayward. And he said one night, he said they were having a revival service. And he said, I don't know what it was. He says, well, then I know what it was. God took me there because he was about to do something in his life miraculous. And Donnie said he went into that church, that revival meeting, and he sat down in the pew. And when it came time for the invitation, you've heard the term, he was white-knuckling the pew in front of him. Means he had a death grip on it, and the blood was literally running out of his hands because he was holding on because he didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to give up his life. He knew what God was doing. But he said all of a sudden, he felt his hands break loose. He walked down and he fell at the altar, got on his face. And he said he prayed. And as he prayed, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And Donnie Colson said when he got up from his knees, he said, I never felt love like I felt that moment when Jesus saved me and came into my heart and became my Lord and my Savior. And Donnie told me, he said, as I was walking back, and he said, I was walking out of that church that night, he said, it's like I could see my old self sitting in that pew still going, take me back. And he's like, ain't no way. He said, what I have now, I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to trade it for anything. He said, I've got Jesus, and I'll tell you this. This amazing love filled Donnie Colson's heart, and for many years, Donnie Colson served as a chaplain, as a pastor. He gave up a lot of things in his own life to serve and live for Jesus and be a servant to other people. And today, he is in heaven. There's a lot of changed lives because of Donnie Colson, but I won't forget the morning that I called him. I said, Donnie, my mother-in-law is at Bounce Back. She's not a Christian. I said, I don't know how much longer she's got on this earth. I said, Donnie, I was praying this morning with a friend of mine, and your name just came into my heart to call you. He said, where is she? And I'll go. Now, this was on a Tuesday morning. He said, actually, I'll go tomorrow night before I go to Bible study. Well, you know the outcome of that visit. My mother-in-law got saved. And there's a lot of other people that when Donnie Colson stepped into heaven the other morning, because of the love of Jesus, a lot of other people walked up to him and I'm sure said, I'm here because of you. Actually, they're there because of Jesus, but because of his sacrifice. I was diseased by sin, and yet God healed my body. Now I'm going to read a different translation of Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Jesus took everything in your life, everything that was sinful, dirty, and yuck, and he bore it on himself. The perfect Son of God hung on the cross for you and I. And I tell you what, that this morning, that ought to make a huge impact on our hearts and lives, and it ought to change our character. It ought to change the way we live, the way we think, the way we treat others. It ought to enrich our prayer life. It ought to enrich us to read our Bibles and to put off the things of the world, because Jesus took all of that filth and all of that disease and sin and even sickness, and He even conquered death for you and I. Now, I tell you what, I can't think of any better gift than that. I mean, I've received gifts in my lifetime on this earth, but nothing will ever take the place of the gift that I received when Jesus Christ became my Lord and Savior. I was down in a pit, and God rescued me. He reached His hand down in Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, you and I deserve judgment, but He gave us mercy. He pardoned us. Now that right there, that ought to just excite you. If that doesn't excite somebody, then I think we better get our hearts checked, and I don't mean by a cardiologist. I think we need to get our hearts before the great physician, and because here's what I hear a lot of time. Well, I just don't feel it. Well, I'll tell you this, my Lord, my Savior is not a feeling. He is the real thing. He is the real deal. And He is always present. He is always with me in trouble. He's with me in the good times. He's with me in the bad times. He's with me on the mountaintop. He's with me in the valley. I deserved this judgment that was coming. I deserved it because I was sin. But His love, His amazing love and His grace and mercy met me where I was at, and it canceled out my judgment. It canceled out my punishment. It canceled out my future in hell. And it gave me a place in heaven for eternity. He redeemed me, and He was the only one who could ever love me when I was at my worst. I'll say this, there's probably people in my life, there's probably human beings in my life, whatever, or maybe somebody, they say, well, I wrote you off because, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. Well, I'm sorry, things like that have happened. But all I can do is pray for people. I pray for restored relationships. Sometimes relationships, though, well, you know what, that'd be a whole different sermon. I'll start chasing a rabbit around the tree if I go that way. Secondly, the greatest gift of love is what Jesus did on the cross. You ain't going to find anything better than that. You could go up here to Mercedes at Marion, and you could buy the finest, most expensive car, but that is not going to be the greatest gift that you'll ever get. That is not going to be the thing that'll ever make you happy. See, there's a lot of people who spend their time and their energy on the face of this earth, and they're trying to find satisfaction in something that man has made. They're trying to find satisfaction in their money, in their career, in their kids going to the most prestigious schools. Now I'm not saying anything bad, so please, before I say this, I'm not knocking anything at all. I'm just saying there are some people that they strive to get as many titles in their life. And you know what I've heard a lot of? I've heard people even say, I've got just about everything and I'm not happy. I've got no contentment. I've got no peace in my life. Well, I'll tell you what, you're not going to find it in a pill. You're not going to find it in a bottle. You're not going to find it in any person. You're not going to find it with anything But the greatest gift that you'll find it in is the love that Jesus showed us on the cross. And it's all because, now picture this. He left, and I want to really break this down. He left the glory of heaven. Now you think of this. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, He's got it made. He's in heaven. He chose to leave that place for you and I. Now let that sink in. He left perfection, and immortality became mortal for you and I. Now that right there ought to strike a chord within our heart. He left all the comforts. He left the grandeur of heaven to come down here and live and to be ridiculed and to be rejected by men, to be beaten and tortured and mocked and made fun of. People tried to kill him. And Jesus was like the Energizer Bunny. He just kept going and going and going and going. And you know what it was that kept him going? His love for you and I. And then they nailed him to a cross. My Savior, my Lord. It wasn't the nails that kept him up there. He could have called angels to come and got him off the cross. But it was His amazing love that kept him there. It was love. That's what I want us all to understand. His love kept him there. But I'll tell you this, death didn't hold him very long, because the Father's love caused him to come out of the grave on the third day, resurrected in glorious power and majesty, and He's still the same Jesus today. He was our perfect sacrifice. His blood cleansed us from all of our sin. I like that old song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I could go on singing it. But my sins were washed away. My slate was made clean all over again. Every wrong that was against me, the blood of Jesus flowed over it and erased it, washed it away. I can't think of anything better. I want to tell you how good His love is. His love is very personal. God is capable of loving and being loved. And that's all God wants out of you and I. God just wants us to love Him. You don't have to go take a special class. You don't have to go to correspondence school. You don't have to be a scholar and a knowledgeable professor to love the Lord. All you got to do is come before Him as you are, with a whole and a whole and a pure heart, and you just get before Him and say, Father, I love You. Pour Yourself into me. I know You already love me. And see, that's what we have to grasp, is we have to grasp that God is capable of loving. You might have heard from some preacher or somebody at some time in your life that God is this monster and He's ready to strike you down every time you say or do something wrong. And then every time we do mess up, we carry loads of guilt around and shame to the point that it's almost got us broken. We get physically and mentally sick, and we wonder why our world is so full of hatred and falling apart the way it is. Because we haven't come to the place, I don't think, in a lot of ways, that God is capable of loving us and that God's not going to knock you down and destroy you. You have been redeemed. You have been justified. And it's nothing that you or I did. It's all because of what Jesus did. He loves us with a very intense love. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy. That doesn't say He's rich in punishment. It says He's rich in mercy. Because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So it's by grace that you've been saved. Nothing that you've done. I'll tell you this, even the most evil, hateful person, when they come into an encounter with Jesus' love, it'll change them. I've heard people, and I wish we wouldn't say this as Christians, but I've heard it. Well, that person, you don't know what they've done, they'll never get saved. Well, that right there is casting. You're already saying that God's love isn't enough to save that person. But His love is so intense. His mercy poured out for us. But I'll tell you what His love can do. It can bring healing into our lives. It can take every broken piece of hurt, of anger, of suffering, whatever, and it can put it all back together. Now, there are people whose lives are ruled by evil and hate because they don't have the love of Jesus in them and they don't operate and function in it. And all they are doing, they will tear somebody else down and break them down because they're the one who's miserable. And I want you to know this. If anybody has ever suffered through something like that, I have. But I'll tell you this, the love of God has triumphed over everything that was ever said or done to me in my life, and the same applies to every one of you. If somebody has ever hurt you in the past, I want you to know that His love can heal you, but you have to let it. We have to quit being resistors. We have to quit pushing back on God. God's not going to push on you. See, God's already given it freely. But you know what we do a lot of times? We push back. We fight Him because we're afraid of what might happen in our lives. I've had a lot of people say, well, I don't want to get saved. I might get sent as a missionary to another. I might have to go out to some jungle somewhere and eat coconuts and live in a bamboo hut. Well, if God wanted you to do that, don't you think He would give you a blessed life and take care of everything? Don't you think that He would really do something incredible? But we're always afraid of what might happen if we would let God in. Sometimes we don't want to let God in because we're ashamed of what's in our life. He already knows everything about you. You're not hiding anything from God. And since you're not hiding anything from Him, He already knows your thoughts. He knows everything you've been through, your hurts and your pains. He knows your sufferings. And He also knows your good times. He knows everything good that's happened in your life. And He still loves you regardless. So today, I want to ask you to do this. Would you be willing to finally let it all go? To say, I've had enough? But the devil, I want to say this for a moment. The devil is at work to destroy everything that God has put in motion. Remember, the devil's future, he's going to be cast into a lake of fire. I mean, the ding-a-ling got himself kicked out of heaven. That's pretty dumb right there. So why anybody would listen to the devil? But I've heard it said too, and I've even experienced it myself. The devil's all over me today, and I just can't get out of it. Well, you know what has to happen? You have got to take the step forward and say, enough is enough. I am not going to let the enemy rule and reign over my life the way that he has been lately, and I'm going to break free. Because that's what there is in Jesus. There's freedom. He will break the chains that have been holding you bound for so long in life. And once he sets you free, you are going to start to experience him in mighty and wonderful ways. And then lastly, the consuming love of God. His love touches every part of our lives. And I want to read verses 18 and 19 real quick. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So that tells you right there that his love is all-consuming. If you are filled with fear, that means you are not living a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You are not trusting him. You are walking in your own understanding. You are walking in the lies of the devil. You are believing what somebody else falsely told you at some point. And so from that, you have made an assumption about the Lord, and you've decided not to step over into that gift that he has for you. But if his love, if he loved us first, and we know that Jesus paid the price and the penalty for our sins, why are we living in fear? Why are we living in doubt? Why are we living in discouragement? Why are we living depressed? Why are we living hopeless? If Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, which he did, and he is coming again, and we also have the hope as Christians that if we die before that happens, we will be quickly brought into his presence to know that we will be accepted into his kingdom, that we will be loved. But I want to tell you this, you have to be living and obeying his commandments. And you've got to be abiding by his word. This type of love should make us want to spend time with him and seek him for our strength and comfort. Now, I'm going to kind of relate this back to when we were all probably kids. I'm sure you had a set of grandparents that was your favorite grandparents. Now, my granny and my grandpa, two of the most blessed people ever. My grandfather was a pastor. He kind of reminded me of what I've heard about Frank. He was quiet. He didn't say much. You could sit in a room with him, he might say 10 words, and you'd be going, what in the world did I do to make him upset? Well, he just didn't say a whole lot. But I tell you what, the man had a loving heart. But I tell you, I loved spending time with them. You know why? Well, of course, as a kid, I knew they'd bring me something when they come to visit or when we got down there. They were going. I knew Granny what she was going to do, take me and my sister and go to the museum, go to the amusement park, go to the zoo, go all these places. She would take us shopping and buy us a new pair of Nike tennis shoes. I mean, so, yeah, as a kid, we loved because, boy, Granny was going to take us out and spend a little money on us. But as I got older, I realized the reason I really loved being with them was the love they shared. It made me want to spend time. So I wanted to talk to them. And even as I grew up and got out of the house, I drove to Little Rock to go see my granny and grandpa. Even after my grandfather died, my grandmother had a stroke, and Granny was in a nursing home there, and her mind was starting to slip. But the last time I got to see her before she passed away, I went down there and sat on her bed, and I saw the anguish that she was going through. But I also knew her time was drawing close to going home to be with Jesus. And you know what she did? She went like this. She says, "Come here, Jimbo." That's what they used to call me, was Jimbo. That was me. And she wanted to put her arms around me and hold me. I said, "No, Granny. You come here." And my granny put her head over on my shoulder, and all I did was I sat on that bed and loved her. So it makes me, by saying that, I want to say this. That kind of love made me want to spend time with them. The love that Jesus gives me, it should make me want to spend every living moment I've got with Him. And Jesus is doing this. "Come here. Let me just hold you." And you know what? We, in return, we ought to open up our arms to Him and say, "Lord, I want to love you too. Because I do. I mess up and fail, but yes, I love the Lord. And I'm still learning. I'm a promise and I'm a possibility. And I'm not going to give up." Yeah, there's times I'd like to. There's times I'd like to just, I'll be honest. There's times that I get so fed up with people and things. There's times that I've even thought I would just rather go live out in the woods by myself in a cabin and not have to be around nobody, everybody, anybody ever get like that. It's all right. Just, I hear a lot of people say it. Billy's pointing over Brandy. Bill, you better watch today. She might not make you lunch. But I've been there. God, just get me away from people. I want to go live by myself. I'm done. And the Lord's like, "Really? Is my love not enough for you? Or I've made demands out of God? I want this, Lord, before I go and do that for you." That's not right. That's not love. That's selfishness. That's actually being a baby, having little tantrums. And we all, as adults, we have those tantrums. I know that. But the love of the Lord, He loves you so much, then we should look to the cross. That's God's way of telling us, "I love you this much," that Jesus stretched out His arms and the words were written in red, "I love you." Now I tell you what, I believe the Holy Spirit has really moved this morning. And, you know, we come to church and we all got plans afterward. We want to go do this and do that. But do we ever take the time to get to the altar and pray? When was the last time that we were moved by His love to pray for revival or to pray for somebody or to forgive somebody? When was the last time we were at the altar praying, asking God to move? Oh no, we don't want church to be like that. We don't want to be known as a bunch of holy rollers. I ain't trying to make nobody holy rollers. I don't want nobody jumping the pews and hanging from the light fixtures. That's not what I'm trying to get nobody to do. But here's what I'm trying to get people to do. I'm trying to encourage you to love the Lord and to worship Him and to experience the true joy that He wants to give. And even maybe getting out of your seat and getting to the altar and getting things right in your life. Or maybe praying for somebody. Because when God sees us on our faces before Him praying, He answers our prayers and He moves in a mighty way.